And we are in Luke chapter 6, and we're going to be looking at verses 43 to the end of the chapter. Let me read these verses that we're going to look at this morning. It says, "For no good tree bears bad fruit, nor again does a bad tree bear good fruit. For each tree is known by its own fruit. For figs are not gathered from thorn bushes, nor are grapes picked from a bramble bush. The good person, out of the good treasure of his heart, produces good. And the evil person, out of his evil treasure, produces evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaks." Jesus goes on to say, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I tell you? Everyone who comes to me and hears my words and does them, I will show you what he is like. He is like a man building a house who dug deep and laid the foundation on the rock. And when a flood arose, the stream broke against that house and could not shake it because it had been well built. But the one who hears and does not do them is like a man who built a house on the ground without a foundation. When the storm broke against it, immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great." Amen? Amen. One of the questions that I get asked a lot is this: how can you tell if someone is a Christian? How can you tell if someone is a Christian? Or let's put it more personally, maybe you're asking yourself this question: how can I tell if I'm a Christian this morning? Well, Jesus says it very simply from his word. We can tell by the spiritual fruit of a person's life and how they respond to suffering. You can tell by the spiritual fruit of someone's life and how they respond to suffering. You can tell if someone is a Christian if they're seeking to follow Jesus Christ and to obey him by repenting of their sins daily and seeking to grow in grace. Doesn't mean they're a perfect person, no Christian is, but are they seeking to turn away from their old life and move towards their new life in Jesus Christ? And the test of this obedience is shown in how they respond when pressure is applied to their lives. You can tell what someone loves when suffering comes. You can tell what someone loves when a person doesn't get what they want, when something is taken away that they might love, when suffering comes, when persecution comes, when things get difficult. How will that person respond? Because in those pressures, what happens is the pressure comes, as we're going to see in a few minutes, the heart is exposed. Famous illustrations. Think about a bottle of water. Get a bottle of water, and you haven't got a lid on it. What happens when you shake it? What happens when you shake a bottle of water? The water comes out, yes. The water comes out. When you shake a bottle of water, so it's not science, rocket science. It's just what happens when you shake a bottle of water? The water comes out. Okay, whatever's in the bottle comes out. And that's the same in the Christian life. When you're shaken, what comes out is a test of where your foundations are and whether you're walking with the Lord. And that's basically what Jesus is communicating. If you don't understand the rest of the text or what I'm saying, that's what he means. That's exactly what he's talking about here. Look at verse 46. "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I tell you?" Jesus has been teaching his disciples what it means to follow him. And now he clearly teaches you can't call yourself a follower of Christ if there's no difference in your words and there's no difference in your actions. And Jesus uses two different pictures to help us understand this point. The first picture is that of trees and fruit. That's your first picture. And the second picture is that of houses and storms. And these are pictures taken from everyday life that we can all get today, hopefully. That's the wonderful thing about Jesus. We can all get it this morning. Because we all know about trees, and we all know about fruit, and we all know about storms, and we all know about houses. Okay? So that's the two pictures today to try and help us understand these lessons. So the first is trees and fruit. Trees and fruit. And the lesson is simple. The image is simple. If you have an apple tree in your garden, what will it produce? Apples. Again, not rocket science. If you have an apple tree in your garden, what does it produce, guys? Apples. If it's a healthy tree, it will produce healthy apples. Okay? If you have nice, juicy apples coming from your tree in your back garden, you know that tree is healthy. However, if you have a tree and the fruit that it produces is rotten, what do you know about the tree? You know about the tree that is diseased. It's a diseased tree. How can you tell whether a tree is good or bad? Simple. You can tell by the fruit it provides. Getting it? You can tell if something's healthy or rotten, good or bad, dependent on the fruit it provides. Good trees bear good fruit. Bad trees bear bad fruit. And here's the thing, you can't change the quality of the fruit. Let's say you went out into your back garden and you saw your tree's diseased, okay? And you see the fruit's not very nice. So you take it all out, you go down to Lidl's, and you go and buy a dozen apples, get some sticky tape, and you go and take that fruit, and you go and stick it to the branches. Does that make the tree good? What's going to happen to the fruit? It'll fall off. It'll grow rotten pretty quickly. It won't stay there for very long. The tree's still bad. You might have stuck some gaffer tape to some beautiful, nice red apples from Lidl's or Sainsbury's or wherever you go. It's still a bad tree, isn't it? Okay? In other words, it's not the fruit that needs changing. It's the roots, the tree that needs changing. You need to dig that tree up and get a healthy one and put it in the ground and water it properly. If you have a bad tree that's producing bad fruit, then you need to change the roots, not the fruit. What's the point? What's the point? The point is the evil that comes out of your mouth and the evil that comes through in your actions flows from inside of you. It flows from your heart. Okay? Verse 45, the good person out of the good treasure of his heart produces good, and the evil person out of the evil treasure produces evil. Do we see? Healthy trees produce healthy fruit. Diseased trees produce evil fruit. People walking step with the Lord produce good fruit. Those who are not produce evil fruit. Now let me be clear. Every person in the world starts off with a bad and diseased and twisted heart. Jeremiah 17:9 is clear. The heart is deceitful, isn't it? The heart is deceitful above all things, and it's desperately sick. Who can understand it? Why do you do the evil things you do? Sometimes you don't even understand the things that you do and why you do the things that you do. You ever said that? Why did I just do that? Why did I just say that? We don't understand ourselves sometimes or why we do what we do. It's because we've got a diseased heart. We're all born sinners who produce evil from our hearts. Sometimes people say nidri, don't they? If someone does some good stuff around the community, they say, oh, that boy, he's got a good heart, hasn't he? We say that, don't we? That boy has a good heart. That's not biblical. We all have rotten, evil, deceitful hearts. But Jesus promises that if we repent of our sins and turn to Jesus Christ, we will be given a new heart. He will change our heart of stone, it says in the book of Ezekiel, and give us a heart of flesh. He promises if we turn to Jesus that he'll put his spirit within us to give us a new start, a new spiritual life. The point is, in order to follow Jesus and to produce good fruit, you need a new spiritual heart. You need to be changed here. And I've said it before, I'll say it again. You can change your house. You can change your boyfriend or your girlfriend. You can change your kids. You can change your car. You can change your house. You get a new job. But none of those things will change you in here. Only God can do that. We were saying this at our Bible study on a Thursday after bingo. Look at our community. How many millions of pounds has been spent in Nidri to try and change the houses? And it does look nice. It does look better. But it doesn't change the people behind the doors, does it? That's the Lord's work. The Lord needs to change our hearts. Unless the root is changed, the heart won't be changed. If the heart is changed, it produces good fruit. If the heart continues to be outside of Christ, it produces evil fruit. So Jesus' test here is to get you to think through, what's the fruit of your life? What is the fruit of your life today? I'm not talking about years ago. What's your fruit of your life this week? This weekend? What is the fruit that you are producing? He's getting you to examine yourself to see whether your heart has been truly changed by God. Does that mean we never sin? Of course not. But it means that we see the fruit of our old evil nature, we recognize it's evil, and we repent of our sin. Hearts changed by the grace of God repent. That means turning away from evil and sin and turning towards God. Do that daily, over and over again, until they reach heaven. Every day you repent. Every day you turn to Jesus Christ. And do you know what shows our hearts more than anything else? Do you know what reveals your heart more than anything else this morning? Jesus says it in the text. It's your words. Your words. You see that? Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Our words test where our hearts are. You know, people often say, don't they, after an argument, what do they say? I didn't mean to say that. That's not true, is it? Under stress and in an argument, you say exactly what you mean. You say exactly what you mean. What you should say after an argument is this: I'm sorry I said what I meant. That's a more honest thing to say. Or, you know, that really is what I'm like. I'm just embarrassed because I'm usually good at hiding it. We have a lot of evil in our hearts. Apply some pressure. Comes out. You know, I spent a lot of time with drunk people. Not by choice. Not because I'm drunk. And when people are drunk, what do? They say exactly what is on their minds. Why? What does alcohol do? It loosens the lips to show you what is really inside a person. Loosens the lips. That's why wakes at the Jewel Miners Club often turn into fights. Why? You have a couple of drinks with the family. You have a couple of drinks. People start to speak. And everything that's deep down in the heart starts to come out. All the things that people hate about each other, all the bitterness that's there, all the way that they've hurt each other. And then what happens? The brawl kicks off. It was all there in the background. It's just the drink has brought it all out. It's all there in their hearts already. They just learned to move over it and get on with life. That's what Jesus is talking about. Out of the abundance of your heart, your mouth speaks. The question is that you need to ask yourself this morning is, what's coming out of your mouth? What's coming out of your mouth? And what does that show you about the state of your heart? What is your heart producing? If we are walking in step with the Spirit this morning, putting to death the old nature and living in the new nature, what should come out of our mouths and in our actions is this: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. That's what God produces in us. If we are not walking in step with the Spirit, this is what comes out of our mouths. It will be selfish. in our choices. We will be joyless in our day-to-day lives. We'll be double-minded, one foot in the church, one foot in the old life. We'll be impatient with those around us. We will be unkind with our words, and we will gossip about other people. We'll be filled with lust and bad thoughts. We will be unfaithful to the people around us. We will be angry and harsh with our words. We will be gluttons and we will be drunkards. This all comes from our hearts. If the Lord changes the heart, it changes the fruit. If your heart is not changed by the Lord, it will produce rotten fruit. And if you're not a Christian this morning, let me say again, very welcome here. You don't need outward change. You need inward change. You need your heart uprooted and changed with a heavenly one. You need the Spirit of God to change you. And if you are a Christian this morning, you're claiming to be a follower of Jesus Christ. And listen carefully. Jesus is calling you this morning to once again examine your life. Examine your words. Examine your actions. Examine your life choices. And if you are in patterns of unrepentant sin, Jesus is calling you to put those things to death. If you're struggling in a certain area, get back on your knees. Pray to God to help you to replace those old sinful desires and ask Him to help you live a life that is pleasing to Him. Paul says in Galatians, you put to death the old life and you walk in step with the Spirit. That is active. You don't just sit there in your bed praying, God help me, and that's it. There's choices you've got to make. There's decisions you've got to make as you go along, but God is the one that helps you. So that's the first image. Do we all get that? Fruit and trees. Trees and fruit. Hopefully even our Brazilians can get that, even though it's a different language. Fruit and trees. Trees and fruit. Okay? Second picture is that of houses and storms. That's a famous story, isn't it? You probably all heard it in Sunday school. But let me remind you. The wise man built his house on what? On rock. He dug his foundations solid. He dug them deep, Jesus says. But the foolish man, what did he build his house on? Sand in Matthew's gospel here, without a foundation. And the flood came up against both these houses. And the first house, because it was built on a solid foundation, when the storm came up, it stood firm. And the house that was built quickly without any foundation, as Jesus says in Matthew's gospel, on sand, and the storms came up and the water came up, what happened to his house? It collapsed. And the ruin was great. Now again, we've all heard this story, haven't we? We've all heard the story. Or if you haven't heard this story, it's very easy to get, isn't it? Such an easy one to teach children. Such an easy one to talk about. But how neglected is this passage, really, in our lives? When we listen to it, do we actually put it into practice in our lives? The simple point is this. The point is simple, like we've seen with the last one. Build your lives on Jesus' words. Build your life on Jesus' words and obey them, and you will have a solid foundation for your life. Think about a solid house, not the IKEA flat packs that they've put all over Nidri here that go up in a couple of days. Think about a solid house, some of the older ones. A solid house takes blood, sweat, and tears, doesn't it? You need to dig the foundations deep. You need to pour tons of concrete in. You need to get a solid bricky, getting good bricks, good cement to build the walls. You need a decent roofer, etc., etc. That all takes time, all takes money, and it takes effort. And it cannot be done overnight. Well, that's the same with the Christian life. The Christian life takes blood, it takes sweat, and it takes tears as we seek to pour over the Word of God and then allow it to affect our lives as the Holy Spirit applies it to us. To submit to the Word of God daily, to be disciplined in reading the Word, praying over the Word, and obeying it. To make the hard choices, to put it into practice in our lives, to say no to sin, and to not cut corners. Jesus is saying to follow him, it takes discipline, it takes submission, it takes patience, it takes saying no to what we want, all the things that we hate in this culture, and all the things that we hate in our own sinful flesh. What do we want? We don't want to do things disciplined, we want things quickly. We don't want to submit to authority and submit to the Bible and submit to our parents and submit to these things. We don't want to do that. I want to submit to the elders and what they're saying. I want to do my own thing. Screw you guys. That's what we want to do. We want things quickly, not things that are going to be taking time. But Jesus says this, if you dig those foundations deep, if you listen to my word, then your house will be able to stand when the storms of life come and eventually when the judgment of Christ comes. But if you listen to Jesus' words and are casual about them and you shrug your shoulders and say, you know what, I like that part of God's word, I'll listen to that bit, but this bit over here, because it's affecting my life a little bit too much, I'm going to say no to that, I'll come back to it later on. If you go to the word of God like that and you don't obey yourself, don't submit yourself to it, you'll be like the house that when suffering comes your way, it goes collapse. In fact, Jesus says, you've not even listened properly in the first place. And that really is the test when suffering comes your way. Because suffering, again, exposes your heart. Suffering exposes your foundations. Suffering exposes if you are kiddie on Christian or not. It will show you whether when suffering comes, you're going to run to Jesus or you're going to run back to your old life and the idolatry that's there. There's a story told of a man called Thomas Hill. He's a Scottish man who left his little cottage and he climbed the cliff that was above his master's house. All he had on him was a pick, a chisel, and a hammer, and the desire to build a solid home for his family. And he began the relentless assault on a sheer wall of limestone to create this house. It took him 16 years to dig enough hole for his house to be built. 16 years of graft. He kept on going, even though it was slow, and slowly but surely he created a fortress in the side of this cliff for his family to live in. And because it was built into the rock, the house was basically impenetrable and able to withstand any storm that came its way. The question is, are you building your life on the solid foundations of Jesus Christ, and are you submitting yourself, every part, to the Word of God? I mean, again, think about some of our members who've been through horrendous and difficult things in their lives. Think about Craig, for example. Craig's just lost his brother, one of his best friends that he was close to. The question you should be asking is, how is he still at church? How is he still at church? How is he still walking with the Lord? Why is he not growing bitter in life? The reason is because I know for a fact that every day Craig gets up to read God's word and take his promises to heart and submit his life to Jesus Christ. So when the suffering comes his way, that foundation is in place. Does it make it any easier? What it means is that he runs to Jesus in his time of suffering. Jesus is encouraging us to go deep, deep, deep into his word and submit our whole lives to him so that when the storms of life come, Our Christian faith is not shaken. Build foundations today for the future. I mean, the reality is, isn't it? Talk is cheap. We know that in Nidri more than anywhere else. How many false promises are given by people again and again and again? Talk means absolutely nothing. It means absolutely nothing. The old adage, actions speak louder than words, is true, isn't it? Don't simply talk the talk and quote scripture like Bible John, and yet your actions are all over the place. Just stop talking. Stop talking. The man or woman who has the Holy Spirit living in them wants to obey and honor the Lord. They grow in hating what God hates and loving what God loves. It's like when I tell my kids to clean their room. How do I know they've truly listened to me? I know they've truly listened to me when they get up the stairs and they get in their room and they clean the room. And they followed what I told them to do. The same is in the Christian life. When you hear the word of God that you're building your life on and you hear it, you're seeking by the help, with the help of the Holy Spirit, to put it into practice in your life. Jesus says this, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. It's crystal clear in Scripture that those who've been saved by grace are then changed by God's grace. Those who belong to Jesus Christ and love him want to seek him and obey him. And if someone is persistently and consistently disobeying Christ's rule and Christ's way, they can have no assurance that they belong to Jesus Christ. Now, as we end, let me just say a couple of things as we finish. Let me make it crystal clear that we are saved by grace, aren't we? Amen? We're not saved by our good works. We are saved by the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Your good works count not one bit to your salvation. Not one bit. It's all Jesus' work on your behalf. He did it all. But obedience is a sign that we have been saved by grace. Second thing, know this. Growing in obedience can sometimes be a slow process, can't it? It's not an overnight fix. Yes, you're changed when you come to Christ overnight, and your affections are changed, and your desires are changed. But sometimes, in some of us, progress is slow. Progress is slow. We're not expected to be sinless Christians. But we are called to obey Christ in all areas of our lives. And when we fall short, which we do, don't run away. Run to Jesus. Run to his people. Seek forgiveness. Repent. Get back on the horse and go again. And finally, growing in obedience and putting your feet on that solid rock, or creating a foundation as a solid rock for your life, flows from delighting and treasuring and savoring Jesus Christ above all things. Above all things. We don't just obey coldly, do we? Because we feel like we have to. Actually, with God's help, as we love Jesus Christ, we begin to want to obey him in our lives. It's when we see that Jesus Christ is all glorious, that there's nothing better than knowing Jesus Christ and being found in him, as we were singing earlier on, that we'll want to obey him in our lives. Think about that person in your life that you love more than anybody else. And whatever they ask of you, unless it's bad, it's a good thing. Whatever they ask of you, you'll do it for them because you love them. You love them. You'll do anything for them because you care for them. You bend over backwards for them. We've all got that picture of that person in our heads. That's how we should be thinking about Jesus Christ, because we love him, because we adore him, because we worship him, because we delight in him, because we treasure him, because we savor him more than anybody else. We want to submit our lives under him because ultimately we know that it will bring joy to our lives. Ultimately we know it will bring joy to our lives. Don't settle for half hearted obedience. Don't settle for it. If you have one foot following Jesus and one foot in the old life, do you know what that leads to? Utter misery, utter joylessness. But obedience might be costly, but ultimately it leads us to joy, to fullness. When we learning a couple of weeks ago, come to Jesus hungry, and he will fill you with his goodness. That's ultimately why we obey. We want to love him, honor him, and submit to him in our lives. So the question is, as we move into communion, ask yourself the question, what fruit are you producing in your life? What fruit are you producing? Are you submitting to Jesus Christ in every area of your life, or are there some things you're holding back? What foundations are you building? And know that this is all made possible by one way, and that's through the finished work of Jesus Christ on the cross and his powerful work of his Spirit in us. Let us submit to him again today and joyfully look to obey him in our lives. Amen.